I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. If you say, well, Brother Keith, why do you say that every time? Well, glad you asked. There's a reason why. Our words matter. The scripture tells us that Jesus, our great high priest, he is the high priest of our confession of what we say. He works with what we say. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They make fun of these kind of things, but just because they don't understand, because they've been lack of knowledge and understanding of the things of God. That's how you get born again, is you believe it in your heart, and then what? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and the Lord worked with your words and caused you to be recreated on the inside. One of the biggest miracles you could ever believe for. Far greater than a healing, because you weren't just healed on the inside. You're a new creation. You weren't fixed. You're recreated. A new individual, a new creation. When we say, you know, make a confession, or I exhort you and say this, first of all, you want to make sure it's something from the Word, not just something off the top of my head or anybody else's. But at the same time, you don't want to sit there and be silent and go, well, I don't know about all that saying stuff. If you don't believe it enough to say it boldly, you don't believe it, period. You don't believe it enough to have it. Now, if you think, well, I just don't know. The Lord knows my heart. He sure does. Yeah. It's not always a good thing, because it matters. God created everything you see, every material thing, the air you breathe, with words out of His mouth. And He created us in His likeness and image, made us speaking spirits. It's one of the greatest privileges a being could have. And so the enemy wants to feed junk into your mind and get you to say stuff that he can work with that would give him access into this earth to do bad stuff. Don't give him anything to work with. Amen. That includes in your own life. Don't say, I'm such a failure. I'm such a sorry excuse for a Christian. You're just giving the enemy ammo to use against you. Don't do it. No matter how you feel, bite your lip. Go hush. And if you said some dumb thing about yourself, stop and go, no, I don't believe that. I negate that in Jesus' name. No, I don't. This is what I believe. Replace it with what God told you to say. And give God something to work with in your life. Father, we thank you that you're so gracious and faithful. Show us how to do the things I'm just talking about now. How to agree with you and say the same things that you've said about us and you speak over us, to be in full and complete agreement with you, that you may watch over that word and perform it in our lives and bring to pass what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been for a number of weeks now on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're given one by one 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we started with number one, the Lord is my shepherd. And we've gone through one by one until we're down to number 13 now in our study. So we'll soon be halfway, right, to our 30 mark. And not to say that that's all there is. No, there's easily 40, 50, 1,000. But the Scripture said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so we're hearing things out of the mouth of Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and God himself through the prophets and concerning himself. What do you say, Lord? Is it your will for us to have provision or not? Does poverty please you? Do you use lack as a teaching and developmental tool? Now see, millions of church-going people believe that last thing, but where did you get that? Did you get that from religious men's ideas? Or did you really get it from what God said? Because Jesus, he reproved the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, you have made the word of God of none effect with your traditions. Now that's quite an indictment. That's a terrible, terrible thing. That God's wonderful, powerful, life-altering, changing, his blessing-bestowing word does no good in your life? Has no effect on your life? Why? Because you've decided to believe some stupid idea that men came up with instead and use that as a replacement for the Word of God? May it not be. Like the Scripture said, God forbid. Right? So everybody said out loud, Father God, reveal to me, open my eyes and my understanding to see any tradition of men that I have accepted and believed instead of your word. Expose it to me. Reveal it to me. And I'll repent. I'll change and embrace your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know years ago when I first went to Bible school, just as green as could be about everything in the Bible. And I had just gotten there and was receiving some outstanding teaching and input from all these instructors. And one afternoon, in a time of waiting on the Lord, praying, the Lord quickened to me. He said, Keith, everything you believe, examine it. Where is it in my word? Find it. I sat up and just stopped and I thought, let me get this right. Everything I believe, find it in the Word. And so I knew it was a word from the Lord for me. And so I began, and I wouldn't be thinking about it all the time, but something had come up in a few days, and the Lord would remind me, this Holy Spirit's helping me. He'd say, you believe that? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Where is it at? Where is it at in the Word? And so sometimes I couldn't do it, look for it right then, but I'd make a note of it somehow. And then later that day or later that evening or whatever, I'd go to, you know, and back then we didn't have the all of the apps. Actually had big books. You remember them? Big books, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and Young's. And so that's what I'd do. I'd look through some of those. And sometimes I'd find it. And or something close to what it was saying. I think, oh yeah, okay, good. And so this went on for month after month after month, and especially those first couple of years. But then oftentimes, the Lord would prompt me, said, now you believe that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's it at? And so I'd look, and I couldn't find it. And I'd look, and I couldn't find it. And then the more I'm looking, I found something that disagreed with it. I thought, uh-oh. And then I thought, well, where did I get that? And I realized that's something Granddad said. Huh? That's something that Mama said. That's something that I heard a preacher say years ago. Well, where did he get it? You see what I'm saying? And, oh, I'm so thankful for that. It's a process that's still going on to this day. But, oh, it was big time during those first couple of years that I kept finding things that's not in the Word. That I believed, that I had believed all my life. So, friends, if you say I'm a Christian, a Christian, you're saying Jesus is my Lord. If He is your Lord, you must submit yourself to His Word. Right? And when you find out you're believing something contrary to His Word, it's time to change. I don't care how long you've believed it, how sure you thought you were of it, how many of your kin folks and your denomination and group believed it. No. Some of us, we've been teaching that for 300 years. Yeah, but who got it 300 years ago? And where did they get it? And just making it old doesn't make it true. Right? Things don't start out false and then eventually become true because they're so old. No. If it was wrong 300 years ago, still wrong. No matter how religious it sounds or how many these and thous you put in it or God you put in it, still wrong. How can I know what's right? Come on, class. How can I know? It is written. That's how Jesus overcame the enemy as he, you know, was tempted those 40 days and nights so severely. Said out loud, it is written. It is written. So we got down to number 13 in our study. And really, you could make this another dozen points, these names that we're talking about. But for time's sake and convenience sake, we'll just put them all into one point. But I think you can see how you could easily have 40 reasons, 50 reasons, right? 100 reasons. But, you know, there are other things to talk about as time goes on. But you can't be too convinced of the will of God, and you want to keep feeding on the Word in an area till it pushes the doubt out of you. And this is an area where you need faith every day of your life. Huh? Are you going to need any money today? For the day's over, any money, any provision, any clothes, any food, a place to stay, travel, rent, whatever. You know, we got a great commission to preach this gospel around the world. For some reason, people want money, right? They want money to go on the internet and the TV to print books. They want money for gas to travel or whatever it is. You know, they want money. They want money, and I understand. They need money. Well, they want money. They need money. They got bills to pay too. Does God want us to have it, or does He get some kind of pleasure out of seeing us struggle? Does it please Him to see us in lack and under and behind? Does He use it to teach us and develop? Now, you might say, well, I thought you asked that yesterday. I did, and I'm going to ask it again because a lot of people believe this. And what we've been talking about for the last several minutes, why do you believe it? Like the Lord kept asking me, okay, you believe that. Yeah, where is it at? Mm-hmm. Where is it in the Word? Find it. Discipline yourself to say, well, I just feel real strong. Well, you can be wrong and feeling strong about it. Thank God for the Word. What will the truth do for you, class? Well, oh, hallelujah. It will make you free. Free from the things that are choking and blinding and holding down most of the world. It'll liberate you from it. And your eyes will come open and you go, oh, God's a big God. He's a good God. He's got a big plan for me. He wants to do something with me. He wants to lift me out of this ditch and get me up higher and put resources in my hand and let me help somebody and be of use to somebody. How does me being broke help you? Huh? I mean, here we are, Faith School. We're coming to you, you know, through cameras and to the TV and online. Do you understand it takes some money to do that? Well, what if we're so broke that I just have to sit in the back of my shack and preach to myself? How does that help you? It doesn't help you. Oh, thank God for resources. Yes. Thank God for partnership. That the Lord is prospering our partners, that they have extra. He's prospering us. We have it. And so we're reaching out and we're touching many and we're going to reach further and higher and greater and more because that is the Most High God. Hallelujah. Well, we've been through a number of names already. We talked about El Shaddai, the Almighty God. El Elyon, the Most High God. We talked about Jehovah in Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies us. We talked about Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We talked about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Don't you like that one?
Yes.
Huh? When did he ever stop being the Lord who heals you? You'll see that, you know, centuries and centuries after this was spoken, Jesus comes on the scene, as is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what does he spend a big time of his earthly ministry doing? Ministering healing. Is that right? Healing. Why? Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? The Father's always been Jehovah Rapha. So what's Jesus going to be doing? Ministering healing.
Amen.
What's he doing today? Same thing to anybody that'll believe it. Now, there are whole groups that have shut him down and said, no, no, we believe in being saved and not going to hell, but we don't believe in all that healing stuff. And so they shut it down. And they won't let the Lord move in that area. What do you mean? Won't let him. Well, he's not just going to push his way on you and force you against your will to receive. Oh, but if you could have a revelation. If you could say he is, like we read in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities. And every Christian everywhere said, amen.
Amen.
But that's only half the verse. He says, and he heals all your diseases. Is that part of the verse true too?
Yes.
Well, people trying to tell us, well, you know, that's passed away. Says you. Says who? Where'd that come from? Okay, say you believe that. Find it. Find it in the scriptures where it's passed away, where he doesn't do it anymore, where the great I am, the Lord your healer, is now the I used to be your healer. No, not to me. I said, not to me. Everybody said out loud, Lord, you are,
Lord, you are
Jehovah.
Jehovah,
the Lord of my salvation.
You are Jehovah Rapha,
the Lord who heals me. And we said that has a great impact on your finances. Just not being sick does wonders for your finances. Right? But then also we saw Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our flag of victory. And oh, we certainly see in the New Testament about that God gives us the victory. He always causes us to triumph. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I want you to see every day over your head.
Yes.
The victory, triumph, flag of Jehovah Nissi. And what we saw is when you get the victory, the enemy doesn't come and put his foot on your throat and tear down your flag and put his flag up and then steal all your stuff. No, no. When you win, your flag stays up and you take all of his stuff. We saw in 2 Chronicles 20, it took them 3 days to gather up all of the jewelry and the money and the clothes and the stuff. Is there any provision in Jehovah Nissi? Yeah, to the victor goes the spoils.
Yes.
Well, that's the opposite of the devil spoiling you. Well, let's go on to another name today. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of Jehovah Shammah. Now that name means the Lord is here. If you're talking about for looking at it from outside, you're saying the Lord is there. But if you're talking about it with you in the situation, the Lord is here, or the Lord is present here with us. That is a comforting thought.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Lord is with me. Oh, there's so much to talk about that. But in Ezekiel 48, this is one of the places where you see this. I won't go into everything that was happening here. But in Ezekiel 48:35, and he said, the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. He said, the name of the city will be, the Lord is there. Somebody say, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. You know, Jesus, when he raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples before he ascended on high. And in Matthew 28:18, he came and said, all power, that's the word for authority, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, him getting all the authority was for us. Then he's saying, go in my name, or go with this authority that I have acquired for you. Man lost the authority and right through Adam and Eve's failure and sin, but Jesus got it back.
Yeah, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he didn't get it back for himself. He didn't need it. He wasn't under the control of the enemy. He got it for mankind.
Yes.
He got it for us.
Yes.
And so that's why he said, I've gotten the authority in heaven and earth. I got it. Now you go and teach all nations. And verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, he is the Lord.
He is the Lord.
Jehovah Shammah.
He is with me.
He is with me always. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is with me. You know, the scripture talks about the heavenly city, and in days to come, in time to come, past this life and all these things. It says that there's no need of a sun there because the Lamb is the light. What does that mean? You talk about him being with you. The light you feel on your face there is his presence.
Hallelujah.
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 And so if you're going to go outside and get a suntan, it's a S-O-N. Tan, because the light of his radiant glory is what illuminates the place so that you don't need a sun. You don't need a star. Now, this is astounding. This is amazing. And so that's one of the reasons why you'll never be too hot or too cold or too bright or too dark. It'll always just be perfect because the Lord is there. Oh, somebody say, he's there. He's here.
He's
with me.
He's with me.
Psalm 46 and 10, he said, be still and know that I am God. Now, what's going on with that? I will be exalted among the heathen. He said, I will be exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is what?
With us.
Now here we've got two of the names represented. We talked about the Lord of hosts. And when you say the Lord is with me, then he's reminding you, now let me just remind you, he's the Lord of hosts. So when he came to be with you, he brought all of his entourage with him. Woo, the armies of angels. Can you begin to see what David was talking about when he used another redemptive name? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is that name, Jehovah. And shepherd, he rei or rohi, depending on who you read after, the Lord my shepherd. That's another one of our names. And listen to the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. We've already talked about that in detail. And then what else? He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me in the way for his righteousness' sake. He restores my soul, right? Somebody say restores.
Restores.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what?
Fear
no evil. Come on, help me out. Why? 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 Now he's describing a place that doesn't look and feel good. The valley of the shadow of death. What does it feel like in the valley of the shadow of death? It's low. It's a valley. It's dark. Right? There's death there. How does it feel? It feels like death. Looks like death. It's dark. It feels low. It feels death. But can you really, in such a situation, have zero fear?
Yes.
None?
Yes.
None?
Yes.
Why? Because you travel with your own environment. You travel with your own atmosphere. Yeah, outside your bubble, it's the valley of death, right? But inside your area, you dwell under the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, under the covert of His wings. Hallelujah! You're traveling with Jehovah Shammah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many in your party? Well, this is me. It's Jehovah Shammah and his hosts, the Lord of hosts. And because of that, you are never alone.
Hallelujah.
Never alone.
Never.
If there's not another human being within 100 miles of you, you're still not alone. I said, you're still not alone. When the disciples took off and left Jesus right before they grabbed him, you know, and took him to be crucified, he told them, he said, all of you are going to leave me. He said, but I'm not alone. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not alone. Why? He was so conscious that the Father is with me. Jehovah Shammah is with me. Didn't he say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you and let you go and let you down, as the translations say. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Man, our time's already up again. Say it out loud,
Jehovah Shammah
is always with me.
Always.
He will never leave me.
Never.
He will never forsake me.
Never.
His presence,
presence
goes with me,
with
everywhere,
everywhere.
Always.
Always.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We'll see you soon back here in Facebook.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.